Good morning. It's good to see everyone here. If you're visiting with us, we're glad you've come to be with us this morning. If you're traveling through, we hope that you'll have a safe trip. If you're from the area, we hope you come back and be with us every chance that you get in the future. As Joel said, we have some spring breakers with us, and it's always good to see our college students back. We miss you when you're not here, and so it's good to see them back, and it's good to see everyone here this morning. The challenge is to see how good of a preacher you are, I guess, is after the time changes and everybody's lost an hour of sleep to see if you can keep everybody awake. So that's the challenge I have this morning. Hopefully, I'll succeed in that. You know, I voted in the presidential primary recently, as many of you probably did. And a lot of people early voted. I didn't do that because I really couldn't make up my mind who I wanted to vote for. And so I did wait till election day and thought, well, if I'm going to do it, I guess I have to do it today. Had thoughts of just skipping it altogether because I really couldn't make up my mind, even as I was entering the polling place, who I was going to vote for. And even as I was standing there and had made my selections, you know, before you push that red button to make it official, I was thinking, well, is this really what I want to do? And in the meantime, there was this young 20-something young lady that came in, and she took the voting machine next to me. And as she stood there, she came in and big smile on her face and went through the ballot pretty quickly, I thought, and hit that red button. And when she did, she said, yes, and grabbed her I voted sticker and slapped it on and took on off. And I thought, really? Of these choices, you're that excited about choosing one of these? Clearly, she was more optimistic about her vote than I was mine. And if you watch the news, you consider politics today or a lot of things that's going on, not only in our country, but I guess in the world today. Terrorist threats, protests that turn violent, criminals portrayed as martyrs and heroes while police officers are the ones that are made out to be the villains. Men that are marrying men, women marrying women, women marrying women, men changing into women, women changing into men. I mean, what is going on? It's crazy. And it's hard not to be pessimistic about the future or for that matter, even the present when we see all of these things that are going on. But we must constantly remind ourselves, we are Christians. And because we're Christians, our faith and our hope and our trust is in the Almighty God. Our scripture reading earlier was from Romans 8, and that's our main text for our lesson this morning. Because Paul gives us there in Romans 8, I believe, at least three reasons for us to be optimistic in what otherwise are pessimistic times. And what I'd like to call it this morning is why we can look on the bright side in dark times. Notice there in Romans 8 and verse 28 first, as read earlier. It says, we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. We have God's goodness that's working for us. Yeah, we look around us and see all the craziness that's going on, and it makes us feel discouraged and depressed and maybe pessimistic about the society or the world that we live in today. But when we think about we have God's goodness working for us, that should change our minds a little bit. That should give us reason to have hope. You know, in this presidential election year, you hear all the candidates, they're trying to make their case for us to elect them to be the next president. And what they'll do is they're promising, all of them do, to work for the good of the people. I'm going to work for the good of the American people. Well, history might suggest that even though maybe they have good intentions and maybe they are sincere, we have reason to doubt that, don't we? But when God says He's going to work for our goodness, as we read in Romans 8 and verse 28, we can have confidence in that wonderful promise of God because we know God keeps His promises. He will work for our good. Now, understand, God is not promising that only good things are going to happen to us. That's not what it means here when it says that he's going to work, that all things will work together for our good. He's not saying that we're not going to experience anything bad in our life. That's not what it's saying here. That's not the message that Paul is giving us. But what God does promise is that he's going to take all the good and all the bad in our life. He's going to take all those circumstances that we have, all the things that we go through, and when it all comes out in the end, it's going to be for our good. That's what he's promising. Think about it this way. If you bake a cake, I don't bake many, but you know, there's different ingredients that you have to put in that cake. And some of those ingredients, maybe if you eat them by themselves, they taste okay. They're good. Some of those ingredients, if you were to eat them by themselves, they're not going to taste good. They're just going to be kind of nasty, actually. Think about it. Flour. Would you want to eat a handful of flour? No, that wouldn't be too good. You put, I don't know, what else do you put in cakes? Raw eggs. You wouldn't want to eat a raw egg. That's not going to taste too good. If it's a good cake, you're going to put strawberries in it. Miss Joyce knows that. Strawberries by themselves are pretty good. But you see, when you take some of those things that by themselves are going to taste really bad, you mix all that stuff together, you put it in the oven and bring it out, now you've got something that tastes really good. That's kind of what God is doing with our lives. Life is made up of a lot of different ingredients. God takes those good days and the bad days. He takes our pleasant circumstances and our unpleasant circumstances. He takes our successes. He takes our failures. He takes our victories and our defeats. He takes all those things up and he mixes all those things up. And in the end, it comes out something that's really good. When we put our trust and our faith and we have love for Him. You know, we're often limited, as we know, in our human perspective to see really why things happen the way they do. And it's difficult sometimes for us to understand the experiences or the situations and circumstances that we have in our life. It's hard for us to see the big picture sometimes. And oftentimes maybe we do wonder why or why me? Because we are limited from that perspective. But those who believe in God, we know that there's one thing, there is hope. We do have hope. And regardless of whether the circumstance is good or bad, we know that in the end, God is going to work it out for our good and for His glory. And that's what we need to focus on. That's the bright side. That's the reason for optimism. That's the reason to see the bright side in dark times. Another thing that's mentioned there, Romans 8, I think, that gives us reason for optimism is in Romans 8, look at verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. If God is for us, who can be against us? What a powerful statement that is. Paul, again, he's not saying nothing can be against us. We know there's a lot of things that are against us in this life. You know, there's sickness and disease. That's against us. Time's against us. Terrorists are against us. Death is against us. The devil is against us. All those things are trying to come up against us, right? What Paul's saying here, though, I think, is even though there's a lot of things that are against us, Paul's saying if God is for you, does it really matter who's against you or what's against you? Because God is more powerful than any of those things. If God is for us, is there anything or anyone that is powerful enough to defeat us? And the answer is no. How do we know that God's there for us? Well, that's what Paul says here as well. He proved it. He proved it by sending His Son to die on the cross for us. That's how he proved that he is there for us. I like the words of Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. The words of the Lord there, as Jeremiah says, Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." We look at the future and maybe there's not reason to hope, you think. But when you think of your eternal future, now we've got something to hope about. Now we have something to look forward to. And even though maybe this life doesn't give us a lot to look forward to, eternity does. And that's why we can be optimistic. That's why we can see the bright side in dark times. I need to get up every day and remind myself, God's with me today. I think we need to do that. Every morning when we wake up, remember, God is with me today. Gives you a little bit different perspective when you face the things that you face. It gives you a little bit more perspective when you turn on the news and see all the craziness that's going on. When you think, you know, there's a lot of things that need to change. There's a lot of things going on that I wish would change. But you know what? God's with me today. And with His help and His strength, I'm going to make it through this day. No matter what challenges I face, no matter what trouble I experience, no matter what disappointment comes my way, God is with me today and His strength is going to get me through it. That's how we need to approach each and every day. That's how we need to wake up every morning and say, God is with me today. And not only is God with us every day, look again at verse 34. It tells us that Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And He is praying for us, making intercession on our behalf. Now stop and think about this for just a moment. God's goodness is working for me. God's power is strengthening me. Jesus is praying for me. Now tell me again why I should walk around with a defeated and pessimistic look on my face and an attitude like that, when we know these things are on our side. Now, I don't think we need to be wearing a fake smile like everything's always great, even though maybe they're not. But at the same time, we should let the world see our faith. And see our trust, see our hope that's in God. And He's the reason that we can see the bright side in dark times. We need to let that rub off on other people. We need to let them see that in us as Christians. To see our faith in God, that no matter how crazy this world gets, that we've got something better. And I think that's a big part of our influence and example that we can have on others that may lead them to Christ. They see what we've got and see that we can have a good attitude and be optimistic in pessimistic times. They're going to say, well, you know what? I want that too. And it will be a good influence to others. If you go on to Romans 8 again, read with me in verse 35. And we see a third reason that I believe that we could be optimistic. In Romans 8, beginning in verse 35, it says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for slaughter, yet in these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now Paul starts there by saying, tribulation and distress or persecution, all these things that Paul had experienced. Think about what Paul had gone through. He was persecuted for just being a Christian. He had been imprisoned. Paul was beaten. Paul was stoned. He went through a lot of those things. And his point is, no matter, you know, when I was stoned, Christ still loved me. When I was beaten, Christ still loved me. The Lord still loved me when I was sitting in prison. No matter what happens to me, the Lord is going to have that love there for me. And I think that's a great encouragement to us as well. No matter what happens in our life, no matter what tribulations we face, no matter what persecutions that we face, no matter what happens to us, it's not going to separate us from the love that the Lord has for us. We have God's love. Paul reminds us that God doesn't shield us, though, from all the bad things in the world. We're going to have to face those things. We're going to have to go through those things. The bad things that are in the world, we can't be immune from those affecting us. And that's what Paul's saying. Those were things that definitely affected him. Tribulation and distress and persecution and famine and nakedness and peril, dangers. All those things, though, will not and cannot stop or cause God to stop loving us or cause Him to desert us or cause Him to forsake us. Nothing shall ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. When we think of that, again, as you think about the things Paul went through, he went through a whole lot more than probably we'll experience. But yet he understood, and I think part of what got him through that is the fact that he understood that God's love was still there. And when the world turned cold, he had the warm embrace of the love of God with him. And this world we live in can be very cold and cruel and just an unkind place. And we experience that. And it does cause us time to, you know, just be discouraged. It causes us time to be depressed, to be pessimistic about our life and the world around us. And to think maybe there's nothing we can do, or maybe we think that we can't make a difference. But as we see with Paul, he endured those things. Because not only did he have the love of God with him, I think we see with Paul, he had love for the Lord as well. And so our love for God, even though maybe we have tribulations and distress and persecution and all these bad things when they face us, we can't let that affect our love that we have for God. That's something that Paul had. That's why he was able to keep going. That's the reason he kept going and preaching the gospel and kept doing the work that God had for him to do. Even when he was persecuted, even when he was beaten and stoned and thrown in prison, even when all those bad things were happening, his love for the Lord caused him to keep on going. And we need that determination as well, that we're not going to let anything separate us from God's love. Not only the love that He has for us, but the love we have for Him. We're not going to let those things cause us to quit loving God. The world is a very cruel and unkind place, but we can be thankful that when it turns cold, we have that warm embrace of the love of God that's with us. God's love, it's another reason to see the bright side in dark times. It's another reason to have optimism in pessimistic times. Do you remember the name in your history book, Robert Fulton? I love history. Maybe you remember that. Anybody know what he did? He created built the first steamboat. It was called the Clermont. On the day he scheduled his first test run on the Hudson River, there was a large crowd of people came. They wanted to see this historic event. And probably out of curiosity to see if it was really going to work or not. At least one man there had his doubts. The story is told that Fulton, as he was there and about to show the crowd what he had created, what he had built, this historic moment, the story is told there's this one old guy that was in the crowd and he was being negative and kind of dampening everybody's spirits. And he kept saying, well, Fulton, he'll never get that thing running. This isn't going to work. He had every negative comment to say about this new invention. Well, Fulton did get that thing running, much to the delight of the crowd. As he fired up the engine and the boat started moving, and as we see, the old guy had to eat his words a little bit, but it didn't stop him from having a pessimistic and negative attitude. Because as the engine fired and the boat started moving, the old man kind of stammered off, and he could be heard saying as he left, Fulton, I never get that thing to stop. You know, some people, they're just going to be negative and pessimistic about any situation, about anything that comes up. That guy had made a determination, I'm going to be negative about this no matter what. And even when it didn't work the first way, then he had to look at it another way. He was going to be pessimistic no matter what happened. Now, I don't know where our country's headed. And in a lot of ways, we do have reason to be pessimistic no matter what happens, I think. No matter who's elected, no matter, you know, what happens in as we maybe flip on the news and watch it today. I don't know what's happening there. And it's easy to maybe look back and say, well, you know, those good old days, when things were great, wish we could go back to that. It's easy to look back and let that maybe even make us become discouraged or depressed or pessimistic about the future because we look back and think, well, it once was great. What's happened to us? And we can get down about that and depressed and discouraged. But you know, as Christians, we need to be different. As Christians, we have every reason to see the bright side in dark times. We have every reason to be optimistic. We have God's goodness working for us. We have God's power to strengthen us. We have God's love that's embracing us. And beyond that, we have things beyond this world to look forward to. And so, yeah, maybe it's hard to look forward to the future in this world. But why can we be optimistic? Well, we know that one day the Lord's going to return. We know that one day we, if we are faithful to the Lord, will live with Him for eternity. In a place where there's not all this craziness going on. In a place where there's not evil and unrighteousness and bad things that we face out here on this in this world. We have that hope of eternity with the Lord in heaven. If you're not a Christian, don't you want those things? When you become a Christian, not only are you forgiven of your sins, you become a child of God. You have hope of that eternal reward, of living with God for eternity in heaven. You have that, but not only that, you have these things today as well in this world to help get you through. You have God with you each day when you wake up. You have God to get you through. You have His goodness working for you. You have His power that will strengthen you. You have His love that will embrace you. If you're not a Christian, hope you'll think about those things. Because certainly don't you want that. Not only in your life now, but that hope for an eternity. You see, by obeying the gospel, as we said, you're not only forgiven now, but as we see that hope of eternal life, you also have God with you now. And what a great blessing that is that we should never take for granted. If you're not a Christian, come this morning, repent of your sins and be baptized. Become a child of God. Have that hope of eternal life that goes with that. And know that the Lord is with you each and every day. Maybe as a Christian you've been unfaithful to the Lord. You need to make changes in your life. Repent of your sins. Ask God to forgive you. We stand ready to encourage you and maybe pray with you if you need that as your brethren this morning. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation, we'll hope you'll respond while we stand and sing.